impact, an explosion of pain. I am rocked back. I fall back, just as twin beams of light come dashing into the room. Police, drop your weapon! The words are hard to hear through the ringing in my ears, but I think I recognize the voice. The female detective from Saturday morning. The one who doesn't like me. I try to call out a warning that Lindy's armed and more than capable of killing again, but it turns out the detective doesn't need any advice. Lindy turns toward the beams of light. She wheezes, probably the closest she can come to a laugh. Then she points her gun just in time for the cop to open fire. I watch Lindy collapse on the floor beside me. I think there should be gaiters. They should come and drag her body away, never to be recovered. Then Samuel is there, peering down at me with concern. "Hang on, Flora. Help is coming. Hang on." I whisper back, "Stacy Summers, upstairs. Help her." Then the gaiters do come. Except it's me they carry away. Chapter 50. Keen sat on the floor in his ridiculously expensive jeans, holding Flora's hand while Didi called for EMTs, then for additional officers to search the complex. It took them a good 15 minutes to work their way through the vast space. Devin Goulding, Natalie Draga, had created quite the nest in the middle of the abandoned building. Didi discovered a kitchen where the plumbing had been jury-rigged with an illegally tapped water pipe and stocked with various food supplies and alcohol bottles, obviously pilfered from the Tonic nightclub. Same with a downstairs bathroom that, yes, contained tubes and tubes of glittery hair gel. The team spread out, searching room by room, floor by floor, until at last an officer discovered Stacy Summers collapsed in an upstairs corridor, clearly in critical condition. More calls for medical assistance. Then they had both Stacy and Flora whisked away to local hospitals. Keynes went off, talking on his cell phone to Flora's mother, while Didi finally made the middle-of-the-night phone call the Summers family had been waiting 3 months for. Then she paced. Keynes hadn't been lying. The paperwork for this kind of incident would be something else. Didi was required to remain on scene to answer preliminary questions from independent investigators regarding her use of deadly force. As a restricted duty detective, not even cleared to carry a firearm, she would face further scrutiny, perhaps even disciplinary action. Maybe Phil would yell at her again, for behaving recklessly, for not trusting her team, for once more walking into a darkened building, whether it was a good idea or not. She should feel anxious, stressed, contrite. But she didn't. She'd called for backup. She'd organized a team of officers to assist. She had approached the situation with the goal of containment, not confrontation, as befitted a supervisor. Then, when the situation had escalated to the point of immediate action, she'd performed as she'd been trained. Regardless of her injured left shoulder and physical limitations, she'd eliminated the clearly visible threat and saved a victim's life. She felt strong, capable, self-sufficient. She felt, for the first time in months, like herself again. She called home. It was 3 a.m., but Alex was familiar with middle-of-the-night conversations. Truth was, she needed to hear his voice. After a night like this, she wanted to feel at least that close to him. "I'm okay," she started the call. "Good. Where are you?" "I killed her. Jacob's daughter, Natalie. I shot and killed her in the line of duty." A pause. "I'm sorry." "Me too." She pointed her gun right at me. I had no choice.
"You had a weapon?"
Alex had always been a smart one.
"I borrowed one to enter the property. We heard shots fired. We went in prepared."
He didn't say anything, because going in prepared wasn't the same as going in cleared for duty, and they both knew it.
"I was scared," she whispered. "I've never been scared before. It's always been just part of the job, but this time, all I could think about was my stupid shoulder. Could I aim fast enough? Would I be strong enough? I did what I had to do, but I was scared."
"Cal Horgan is going to ream me a new one."
"With good reason?"
"I don't want to be scared. And sitting at a desk, that feels like hiding to me. Being on restricted duty, that's being frightened. I want to be cleared.
I want to be the detective I used to be.
Honey, your injury.
I did what I had to do. A suspect leveled a firearm at me in a life-and-death situation, and I performed under pressure. I won't be scared again, Alex. And I won't stay chained to a desk.
So you're not calling home to tell me I can get out the bubble wrap, roll you up, and keep you safe with me forever?
I'm going to face disciplinary actions.
Probably.
I'm going to need your support.
You have it.
Then, I want to pass my physical. I want to be cleared for full duty.
Is it okay if I'm scared? Because this call right now, my wife just faced an armed gunman, not my favorite middle-of-the-night conversation.
I want to be the detective I used to be.
Dee Dee, I fell in love with the detective you used to be. I married the detective you used to be. You don't have to change for me, or for Jack. We know the detective you used to be.
Okay.
Are you crying?
Detectives don't cry.
But a restricted-duty supervisor...
Maybe.
Thank you for still being alive.
Thank you for having my back.
Did you find the missing girls?
Both Stacy Summers and Flora Dane.
That's great. Are they all right?
Dee Dee told him the truth.
We don't know yet.
I wake up to bright lights. I'm staring at white ceiling panels high overhead. A scratchy sheet tucked tight around my chest, metal bed rail clearly visible. I turn my head just enough to see Samuel sitting slumped in the chair, head in his hands. No suit this time, but a jet-black dress shirt and dark jeans that would be more appropriate for a nightclub than a hospital room. My mom is on a plane, I find myself thinking, then have to catch myself. I'm not in Georgia, I'm in Boston. And I haven't just escaped from Jacob, I've escaped from Jacob's daughter. For a moment, there are so many thoughts in my head, so many memories, emotions. I'm not sure where the past ends and the present begins. I'm not sure who I was and who I will ever be again. I'm in limbo. It's not the worst feeling in the world. All the promise of a fresh start without the pain of actually attempting it. Oh, my shoulder aches. My head is fuzzy. My mouth is dry. Lindy with her gun. Me with my broken glass and plastic straw. She pulled the trigger. So did the detective. And we all fell down. She's dead. I don't have to ask to know. Lindy must be dead. It's the only way to explain me being alive. I got out. I'm free. And just the thought makes me start to laugh, though it's not a happy sound coming from my throat. Samuel appears immediately at my side, offers me water, fusses with the edge of the blanket. I don't see my mom yet, but she must be in the hospital somewhere. Even if she hates me, is heartbroken, furious, devastated, she's not the type to back down from a fight. I guess I get that from her. I'm laughing again. Or crying. Because here I am, except who am I? A killer? A woman only comfortable in the dark? A woman with no promises left to keep. Except who is that exactly? I wish I could scrub my brain. I wish I could bleach my eyes. I wish I could take my entire body and empty it out. No more memories of coffin-shaped boxes or Jacob's tobacco-stained teeth or exactly how it smells when human flesh bursts into flame. I would give it all up. Remember nothing, know nothing. I would simply be a girl running through the woods of Maine, sneaking pieces of cheese to the foxes. Samuel is holding my left hand, as my right shoulder is heavily bandaged. You're a survivor, he's saying. You're strong. You can do this. You are a survivor. Stacy Summers, I hear myself whisper.
Thanks to you, we found her and got her to the hospital in time. You did it, Flora. You did it.
I find myself smiling, but again, not the happiest look, because I know better than anyone that this moment, right now, is the only easy one. This one second where Stacy gets to wake up, finally free, with her parents by her side, and they cry and she cries and everyone is so relieved. Their wildest dream has just come true. And the other moments? Tomorrow? The next day? The one after that? She will need help, I think. And then, she will have it. From me? From Samuel? From my mother? We all started this journey together, each in our own way. I would finish it. If Stacy would let me, I would be there for her. I've fought enough alone in the dark. It might be nice to try working together with someone to find the light. The next question I ask Samuel with my eyes, because I can't say the words out loud.
She died at the scene.
He offers simply.
It appears she and Devin Goulding kidnapped at least three girls together. Christy Kilker died. But you, Stacy Summers, you two made it.
I didn't know Lindy was even in town, I murmured. I went to Tonic Friday night because Stacy's friends said they went there on occasion. Lindy? Jacob's daughter? I never knew she was in Boston. Never even suspected.
You met her when you were with Jacob.
I understand the question he's really asking. Why didn't I ever talk about her? Alert authorities. I tell him the truth. No one wants to be a monster.
You're not a monster, Flora. You're a survivor.
It's not enough. You think it will be, but it's not.
You saved a girl's life.
I killed a man. And that quickly I can feel the darkness rushing in again. I watched him burn and didn't even care. I stood alone in the void. I'm always alone in the void.
Then make a different choice, Flora. No one said living is easy. You're still going to have to get up each morning, and you're going to have to make decisions. It's been 5 years, and here we are again. Do you really want to keep making the same choices?
I don't have an answer. He's told me similar things before. First, you survive. Next, you have to stop feeling like a victim. It all sounds so simple, and yet... My mom appears, hovering uncertainly in the doorway. Trapped in her own version of déjà vu, her sad, determined face, her terribly ugly flannel shirt, the silver fox charm nestled at the hollow of her throat. So many things I should tell her. So many apologies I should make. I want it to be as simple as Samuel makes it sound. I want the same happily ever after Stacy Summers surely deserves. I want to tell the truth and hope that it sets me free. I pull my hand from Samuel. I hold it out to my mother. I'm sorry, I say.
You don't have to.
I blamed you, I hear myself say. I didn't mean to, but you wanted me to come home so badly. I would watch you on the news, begging for my safe return, so I survived for you. Even when it would have been better if I hadn't. Even when I wanted to let go, I survived because I didn't want to let you down. She doesn't say anything, but I can tell from her expression that she already knows. She glances at Samuel. This is something they've discussed. They realized, even if I didn't. Jacob had a daughter. They forced me to go out with them to bars. They forced me to help pick up women to kill. Three times. Three women, dead, because of me. I can't change that, I tell her honestly. Even now, with Stacy Summers, it still doesn't balance the scale.
It's not your scale to balance. The crimes are on them.
I watched him burn. That crime is on me. Flora, I don't know what you want from me. I'm your mother and I love you. Even now, even after you're telling me these things, I'm your mother. And I love you. I don't know who I am, I say.
No one does. Everyone spends their lives figuring that out, even people who've never been kidnapped.
I still miss him, and that's wrong, that's twisted. I hate him for being inside my head.
Then welcome him. Thank him for helping make you strong. Thank him for dying so you could go home.
A man like that? He has no defense against gratitude, Flora.
Welcome him, and he'll leave on his own.
That's New Age crap.
That's the basics of turning away from hate. Sooner or later, you gotta give it up if you're going to live again.
Do you hate him?
The police thought Jacob would kill you that day, Flora. Their best experts predicted he'd shoot you, then kill himself. I choose to be grateful he didn't.
I have to think about it. It takes one kind of courage to face down an armed opponent, a different kind of courage to live again. I say,
this is Flora. This is all of Flora. Finally waking up.
My mother hugs me. It hurts my bandaged shoulder. It terrifies the rest of me. But I return her hug. I focus on the feel, the smell, the complete experience. My mother, her hug, our embrace. 472 days, 5 long years. This is Flora. Finally going home, I think, and I squeeze back as hard as I can.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Find Her by Lisa Gardner, performed by Kirsten Potter. Performance copyright 2015 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.